This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. A quick perusal of the Amazon bestseller lists takes you to number 29 before you hit this year's hot book in macroeconomic policy. It's Capital in the 21st Century by the French economist Thomas Piketty. It's been a good solid couple of weeks at number one earlier this spring, based in part on its working thesis of rising wealth inequality. That is a debate in this country as well, how it's grown over the last couple of decades and how we stack up to other countries. If you want to make those comparisons, though, you need a way to quantify inequality in the first place, which brings us to a wonky little statistic called the Gini Index, spelled G-I-N-I. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark has that story.
Not everyone has the same amount of money. Some are richer, some are poorer. That's pretty obvious. But just how much more money do the rich have? How much poorer are the poor? Those are questions that not that long ago, people didn't really know how to answer. In fact, in the early 1900s, the going theory was that in any country at any point in history,
wealth distribution was constant.
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 Professor Jean-Guy Prévost studies the history of statistics at the University of Quebec, and he says a century ago, before there were many wealth or income statistics available to study, most economists thought the proportion of what the haves have compared to the have-nots was always the same in any society.
Everywhere, at all time, the top 20% have 80% of the wealth.
And the bottom 80% split the rest. This, economists argued at the time, was the natural order of things.
You could not change that.
Until 1914, when an Italian statistician named Corrado Gini came along. And this guy, Gini, said, wait, the idea of wealth distribution being always the same? That's crazy. Though, being a statistician, he said this in a 35-page paper involving lots of mathematical formulas.
K equals 1 to N, and then it goes on with a lot of equations.
He analyzed data about the size of farms in England compared to Germany, the size of inheritances in Denmark versus France, and in the process, he created what we now call the Gini Index, basically a scale from 0 to 100 that allows you to compare just how concentrated income or wealth is in a given country at a given time. So in a perfectly unequal country, a country where
one person has all the wealth,
that country would rank as a 100. On the other end of the Gini scale, in a country where everyone has exactly the same amount of money and
all the wealth is divided equally,
that country would rank a 0 on the Gini index. Of course, in the real world, countries fall somewhere in between. Sweden, which is pretty equal, is about a 23 on the Gini index. Here in the U.S., we've gone from the low 40s to the high 40s in the last decade. And then there's South Africa,
which is most unequal country in the world.
Its Gini number is in the 60s. When Gini invented the index at the beginning of the 20th century, many countries around the world, including the U.S., were headed into an era of rising equality, a growing middle class. Today, of course, we seem headed in reverse, which has made the Gini index a central measurement for everyone from the Wall Street occupiers to President Obama. But in case you're thinking the guy behind this inequality measurement was some kind of liberal softy, well, I'll let Jean-Guy Prévost break the news.
He was a member of the fascist party.
Yes, that fascist party, the one known for embracing racial supremacy, totalitarianism, and jackboots. Gini wasn't just a member, he helped build and defend the ideology.
Yeah, he was very fascist. He was even more fascist than the fascist party at the moment.
Giovanni Favaro is an economic historian at Ca' Foscari University in Venice. He says for Gini and the fascist party he belonged to, measuring inequality wasn't important because they cared so much about the poor, but because they cared about maintaining the proper balance between rich and poor. They thought if a country got too equal,
you lose the social differences, you have people who are not used to have wealth, using their wealth in bad ways and things like that.
But if a country got too unequal, Gini worried that could be bad for society too, according to Jean-Guy Prévost. Because if kids from wealthy families started inheriting too much money, they'd get lazy.
And they would kind of make a retreat from the productive sector and became people who live on their interest only. and so lose their function as a ruling class.
Even though Corrado Gini was a fascist, once he let his Gini index out of the bottle, so to speak, it became a tool that transcended fascist ideology or any ideology at all. What made Gini's work so important and still relevant 100 years later is that by having a way to measure inequality, you could start asking all these new questions from all different points of view about the way a society's wealth is distributed.
Just having that measure changes the conversation.
Andrew Berg is an economist at the IMF, the International Monetary Fund.
There's a set of political or ethical or moral questions. You might ask whether we care about the ratio between the rich and the poor, for example, about how inequality matters for things like well-being. Or you might ask, is the crime rate higher in unequal countries? Do unequal countries grow faster?
Questions that have since been asked by people across the ideological spectrum, from radical lefties to CEOs of big corporations. And if you want to find the most comprehensive list of Gini numbers for countries around the world, it's on the website of the CIA. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.